Well, good morning, Traders Point North. How are we doing? Man, it's good to be with you guys, and I hope you're okay if for a couple of minutes there's a little bromance, okay? You guys all right with that? Because Greg just said all that about me, and I'm not going to miss this opportunity to say some stuff about him. So, man, my life changed, and I'm not embellishing, I'm not joking. My life changed 2 years ago. When Greg Anderson walked into my office and asked me if I'd be a part of the North Campus launch team. And man, 2 years ago, I did not have a lot of belief in myself. I had very little self-confidence. And I read a book this summer that I really resonated with. And in it, the author says that at the soul level of every man is the question, do I have what it takes? Do I have what it takes? And I resonate so much with that question. Because even if I'm not asking that out loud, I'm constantly looking for the answer to that question that I have what it takes. Man, do I have what it takes to be a husband, the best husband I can be? Do I have what it takes to be a father to two boys in this culture? Do I have what it takes to be a pastor? I'm always asking that question. And one of the most amazing things about Greg is that for the past 2 years, every single opportunity he's had, Greg has told me, Aaron, you've got what it takes. You've got more than it takes. And man, it's because of Greg's relationship with Jesus that Greg knows how Jesus feels about me. And Greg reassures me all the time how Jesus feels about me and that I do have what it takes through him. And so, man, I cannot thank you enough for your friendship, for your leadership. This campus would not be the campus that it is without Greg Anderson. Can we show him our appreciation this morning? Romance continues. I want to say a couple of things about our lead pastor, Aaron Brockett. Man, as I developed this sermon over the past month, I had a little while to put it together. I developed an entirely new appreciation for the work Aaron puts in every single week. Every week to develop not just content, but incredible content for us to learn from each weekend. Man, there's enough in sermon prep each week alone that Aaron could literally shut his door, not talk to anybody, and that would be totally understandable. But Aaron never shuts his door. He's always welcoming us to come in and to talk to him, and he's always encouraging us, trying to find out more about us, discipling us. Aaron's as intentional of a leader as there could possibly be. And I am so honored and so grateful for his leadership. He's as authentic and sincere in his relationship with Jesus, is just as strong as it seems on a screen to many of you. When you get up close to him, that's exactly what he's like. So can we show our appreciation to Aaron as well this morning? Well, today we are going to look together at what's ahead for Traders Point. And we're going to try and answer the question, what does God have in store for us in 2018? What does God have in store for us at this campus in 2018? But before we get there, man, I want to take a look back at what's happened in the past year. It was a year ago tomorrow that Greg preached in front of our campus, and he preached out of Ephesians 3. And in there, Paul refers to the Lord as him who is able to do far more than we could ever ask or imagine. And Greg challenged us all to pray a prayer that's very similar to that, that God would do far more than we could ever ask or imagine in 2017. And then Greg said this, and I love this. He said this a year ago tomorrow. He said, a year from now, I pray we look back on 2017 and we say, wow, that was far more than we expected. And so what happened in the past year? Let's take a look. For starters, 1 year ago, believe it or not, we were still meeting in a school. You guys remember that? Set up, tear down, unbelievable. We had 100 people on our setup and tear down team getting there early, staying late. We had a team of 7 drivers that were starting their Sundays at about 4:30 a.m., to get up and go for 10 hours straight to make all of that happen. We were hand cranking the lights behind the stage every weekend. We were rolling up carpets in the kids' ministry. We were setting up so many signs to turn a school into a church. Like, you would not believe how many signs it takes to make that look the way it does. We had a weekly attendance of about 800 people. And then in mid-February, we got to move into this place, and our first weekend here had more than 1,500 people. Just 6 weeks later, at our first Easter weekend, more than 2,100 people came to hear about Jesus. Throughout the year, we've seen many people give their life to Christ. 85, in fact, at this campus alone, and more than 750 salvations across all four campuses this year. That is unbelievable. We've seen people stepping out of their comfort zones to put others before themselves, as more than 150 people have begun serving at this campus in the last year. We've seen people pursue discipleship and community and being connected with one another, as more than 200 people have joined a group at this campus in the last year. And our student ministry a year ago would maybe have 30 students coming to it, which was incredible because 2 years ago it started with 6. We went to 30. This fall we've had up to 90 at times. That's incredible. Yeah. We hosted our first prom for adults with special needs this fall and got to throw an absolute party for more than 100 guests because 400 volunteers said, you know what, on a Friday night, I'm not going to matter. On a Friday night, I'm going to put my preferences aside and I'm going to serve someone else. And so more than 100 guests, our adults with special needs, got to be part of one of the best parties I've ever been to. And in October, we got to give away 400 dozen donuts to the community and offer free bathroom cleanings and to tell people that they matter and Jesus loves them. Man, then December came and we blitzed the north side of Indy with Just Because cards. Again, telling people that same thing, they matter. You're loved, and we invited them to our Christmas Eve services. And those Christmas Eve services, more than 300 volunteers, more than 2,300 people in attendance at this campus, more than 16,000 people across all four campuses. And yeah. And we took a year-end offering that will plant 4 churches in Peru through our partnership with Stadia, and we believe will change eternity for hundreds, if not thousands of lives in the years to come. Man, as I look back on the past year, I'm so grateful that Greg challenged us to pray that prayer for God to do far more than we could ever ask or imagine. And I know I'm standing here with confidence and can look back on the past year and say, wow, that was far more than we expected. Now, I know I threw out a ton of numbers. And some of you may be thinking, man, that was a lot of numbers. And I don't know how we're supposed to feel about numbers. But here's the thing. Every single one of those numbers represents a person. And every single one of those people is someone our God is absolutely crazy about. And man, I know that God's heart wants to hold his lost children again. If you're a parent in the room and you think about, this is the best way for me to picture how it breaks God's heart to see lost people in the world. If you're a parent in the room, think about your child being lost for a significant amount of time, for any amount of time. The desire to hold them again would be unbearable. We know that God wants to hold his lost children again, and every single one of those people is a person that God is absolutely crazy about. So we are into numbers. We really are. And we want to do every single thing that we can do to be a part of helping God hold his lost children again, and we're going to continue to do that. Today, hey, we're going to be in Matthew 5. If you want to get there in your Bibles or your Bible app, and if you don't have a Bible with you, that's totally fine. Everything I read from Matthew 5 will be on the screen behind me. And I love that we have the opportunity to dive into God's Word together today, especially as we put a bow on 2017 and look forward to 2018 to see what His Word has for us. You know, something that I find very fascinating in this season are New Year's resolutions. Chances are some of us have sworn those off and we're never going to do them again. We're sick of failing our New Year's resolutions. I've been in that camp before. And maybe some of us have had our New Year's resolution planned for months. And I would say I've been in both camps before. I found myself hating resolutions. I found myself loving them. It's largely dependent on how I do at succeeding in that resolution, right? Like a couple years ago, I wanted to eat healthier. I got on a paleo diet and lost some weight, and I was really excited this year to work out more. 3 weeks into January, that wasn't happening anymore, so I didn't want to do a resolution this next year, right? You guys with me on that? Well, I wanted to share with you the most popular 2017 resolutions. The most popular 2017 resolutions from people around the world are these. Number one, sorry, emotional man, you got to carry a Kleenex with you. So, number one, diet, exercise, and weight loss. No surprise there. We've probably all had that one on at some point or another. Number two, read more. Number three, learn something new. Four is to save money. Five, be nicer, kinder, more patient. Six, get a new job. Seven, volunteer and donate more to charity. Eight, drink less alcohol. Nine, get more sleep and relax more. And 10, make new friends and be a better friend. Now, I know I'm throwing a lot of things out there, but as I looked at these lists, the purpose of it was to try and find a common denominator. Regardless of what we believe or what stage of life we're in, what are the things that we're searching for as people over the next year? And if you're in the camp that's thrown out resolutions, you're never going to have one of those again, that's totally fine. I might be there with you. However, I believe we all have goals. We all have goals for the next year that we want to see come to fruition. We have things that we want to see in our lives. So what are they? And I think it comes down to these two things. Number one, we want our lives to improve. And number two, we want to be a blessing to others. So first, we want our lives to improve. That's something that every single one of us would probably say. We want to live a good life. We want to live long lives. We want to have a successful and prosperous future. And that's found in resolutions like diet, exercise, lose weight. Resolutions like read more or learn new things. Save money, get a new job, drink less alcohol, get more sleep, relax more, make new friends. All of those are things that would improve our quality of life. And then second, we want to be a blessing to others. This was a little bit of a surprise to me because I don't know that we would word it like that. I don't know that we start 2018 and we say, man, I want to be a blessing to others. But it's found in resolutions like saving money, if for the purpose of others, being nicer, kinder, more patient, volunteering more, donating more to charity, being a better friend. We want to help others. What's important to keep in mind as we look at these resolutions is that this was not a list of resolutions for people in the church. This is not a list of resolutions for Christians in Carmel. It's not. This is across the board, every single person. I would say regardless of what you believe, that you want those two things to be true about the next year for you. You want your life to improve, and you want to be a blessing to others. So how do we do it? What's the ingredient to living the best life that we can live and being a blessing to others? And that's what I think we can find in Matthew 5. So we're going to jump there. If you want to follow along with me, I'm going to jump to verse 1, Matthew 5, 1, and read verses 1 through 10, and then we'll look to see how it applies. One day as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and he sat down. His disciples gathered around him and he began to teach them. He said, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. And God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. So you guys see the connection here. There's a lot there. There's a ton there, and we could dive into every single one of those eight things that it says God blesses, but literally every single one could be a sermon in and of itself. And so as we look at that list, what's the connection? And I think it's that we all want to live the good life, right? We all want to have a successful and prosperous future like we talked about through those resolutions. And these last eight verses tell us exactly what it takes to do just that. But we have to be really careful that this does not become our overnight to-do list. That heading into 2018, we just have these boxes with those items in those verses, they're called the Beatitudes, but that list of eight things that we just don't all of a sudden start to check them off the box and say, man, I've got to find a way to be pure today. I've got to find a way to mourn. I've got to be poor. Now, I think what God is talking about in this passage is not things that we do. It's the person that we become. It's at our very nature that God's trying to show us what it would take to live a blessed life. So what is it about our nature that would get in the way of us accomplishing these things? We look at those Beatitudes, what would get in the way of us seeing those in our life, of seeing that fruit in our life? And here's my take. I believe, hands down, it's our pride. I believe our pride gets in the way of us recognizing our need for Him, because every single one of us at different points in our life, we think we can get through life on our own. I believe our pride gets in the way of being pure. And I'll be the first one to say it, I like the impure things in this world. So my pride gets in the way of me being pure. Man, our pride gets in the way of allowing ourselves to mourn because we have this thought that we have to be resilient and tough. Man, I think about every week we have prayer counselors in front of the stage. And guys, I attended Traders Point before being on staff for several years, and there were often times that I needed prayer. I needed to come forward at the end of service, and then there was something in my life that needed prayer, but I just walked out the doors. It's easier to walk with the crowd than to fight against the crowd and come down here for prayer. It's easier. I would not allow myself that because because my pride got in the way. Because it's easier for me to do that and to just act resilient and act tough. And our pride gets in the way of us showing mercy because we are really, really good at holding grudges. So it keeps us from showing mercy. Our pride, which is what makes everything about ourselves, is actually the thing standing in the way of us living the good life. If you think about what the definition of pride would be, it would be self-centeredness. It would be putting yourself before others, thinking of yourself first. You think all that sounds good, that would end up being good for yourself. You're always thinking of yourself if pride has control of you. But it's actually the thing that's causing us so much pain and turmoil at times because it's keeping us from living the blessed life that God tells us in Matthew 5 we can have access to. And man, God knows what He's talking about here. He says that if you become like this in your very nature, then you will see things happen. You'll see the kingdom of heaven on earth like you've never seen it before. And I think back, if we think God did far more than we could ever expect or imagine this past year, what would He do if we intentionally committed to slaying our pride over the next year? What would He do then? And I've journaled some thoughts that I wanted to share with you this morning. These are some ways that pride can get in the way. If we look at Matthew 5 and we're trying to see the connection, Matthew 5 and how would pride manifest itself, these are some ways that maybe it would get in the way, but also provides us with some hope of how to get beyond it. I mean, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for Him, those who recognize their inadequacy, their failure, and their sin, those who know this life is beyond our material desire and slay their pride and let God ignite in them a fire. God blesses those who mourn and He comforts those in need. God appreciates your heart when you cry with those who weep. Those who remove the mask when hurting, exposing the inside. Those who say, I'll mourn with you as I commit to slay my pride. God blesses those who are humble, who say, this isn't about me. Those who lay down their lives because He laid His on a tree. Those whose confidence is Him alone as they push their egos aside. Those who go last every time in an effort to slay their pride. God blesses those who truly hunger and thirst for justice, who the violence in our world doesn't give a sense of numbness, those fighting for widows and orphans seeking to see change, those who slay their pride and realize that Jesus loves every single name. God blesses those who are merciful, who don't keep count of offense, those who give forgiveness even sometimes at their own expense, those who recognize God's mercy as an undeserved award while slaying their pride to realize who to extend mercy toward. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, those pursuing holiness, those who say the battle's indeed uphill because of my brokenness, those who see the lust and greed in this world and yet commit to follow Him, who slay their pride and devote themselves to killing repetitive sin. And God blesses those who work for peace, not easily angered in this life, those pushing themselves in patience and not causing further strife, those looking for an opportunity to get today to calmly slay their pride and seek to honor God by putting their preferences aside. And God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right along the way. God sees your work and He promises your reward will come one day. Stay the course, keep fighting, and always turn the other cheek. Allow God to slay your pride and lean in to what He speaks. See, church, I think this is at the core of what we have to do in 2018. It's recognizing that none of this is about us. And if we look back at 2017, the easy thing to do is say, I had a role in that. That was because of something that I did. Man, God could have done everything that he did in 2017 without any of us. And that's hard. That's hard to admit, and that's hard to get. But man, he chose to involve us. The God of the universe, for some reason, chose to work through you and through me. And we have to just stay in a place of humility, asking God to continue doing that. Asking God to continue using us and not lifting his hand off of this place. And man, if you want your pride just absolutely beat up, which who in this room is like, yeah, pick me. There's a book Andrew Murray writes that's called Humility. And man, he's got so many good references to just how pride manifests itself in our life and how to deal with it. And Murray writes, he says, pride must die in you, or nothing of heaven can live in you. Here's the path to the higher life, Murray goes on to say, down, lower down. Just as water always seeks and fills the lowest place, so the moment God finds men abased and empty, his glory and power flow in to exalt and to bless. When we feel like we've slayed our pride, Murray says, down, lower down, slay it more. God will bless us and flow through us once we empty ourselves. Man, how much of my pride do I have to get rid of? Completely. Once we completely empty ourselves, God will flow in and bless and exalt. But God, this person, how can I show them mercy? You don't know what they've done. You don't know the pain that they've caused me. I believe we're being challenged to slay that. But God, I earned my degree, my job, this life. I've worked really, really hard to provide for these things. Slay it. But God, it's hard to keep my eyes from wandering. They should not dress like that in front of me. And what's the harm in just looking? Slay it. But God, I don't like showing emotion. Sure, I'm hurting, but I don't want to appear weak. I have to have thick skin. Slay it. Man, our pride will keep us from accomplishing what we all want, the good life. Like, that's the thing standing in the way of God keeping his hand on this and having a 2018 that blows all of our expectations out of the water. That's the thing that could get in the way. So we have to slay it by getting the focus off of ourselves, by humbling ourselves, and by not thinking that we've done anything to deserve all that we've been given. Man, when I think of slaying our pride, a picture quickly pops into my head of my wife, Megan. It'd be fascinating to follow Megan around all day and see how often she puts the needs of others before herself. Megan stays at home with our two boys, Wesley, who's 4, and Abram, who's 1. And literally, these boys chase her around the house all day, expecting their needs to be met. Like, Mom, give me goldfish. She pours them some goldfish. Like, no, higher in the bowl. Like, it's got to be at the top. She exceeds those expectations every single day. And our boys are crazy about their mama. They're crazy about her. And she supports and encourages me always. My absolute biggest fan. I told you I need the Kleenex. She's gotten me through so much. Megan spends her mornings doing diaper changes and figuring out how to feed a few of the pickiest eaters on the planet, myself included. She spends her Saturday evenings listening to what I'm going to say at church the next day. While in labor 4 years ago in the hospital, Megan made a last-minute emergency decision to sacrifice part of her body to avoid risking our son. I say decision, it was like without even blinking an eye. She was for sure going to do that. That's who she is. They weren't going to injure our boy. Man, I'll never forget the conversation I had with Wesley, our 4-year-old, just a few weeks ago on vacation. And I'm sharing with Wesley how much his mom has sacrificed for him and how much she cares about him. As soon as Wesley saw Megan a little later, he said, Mom, Why did you get hurt instead of me? Think about that. I mean, the opportunity that she has now to be a blessing in his life, to tell him, man, I did that because I love you like crazy. I love you so much, and that's why I did that for you. And get this, of any situation where we would be entitled to have some pride, right? Let's say there's a pride card and we can play it without penalty. Of any situation where that would happen, it's when you're on an operating room table. This situation's going to be about me. This is my body. Well, not even in that situation did she play it. And as a result, our boys got to experience a blessing. Man, at the very least, what that's done is it's made me better. If at the very least, if that's all it's done, it's made me a ton better. I am looking for ways to sacrifice because I've seen the fruit that it's produced in her life, and I want that in my life. Man, this week I signed up to be on the bone marrow registry through Be the Match. And it was like, as I sent that out, my prayer was honestly, God, use this. Find a match. I don't care if it causes me pain. I don't care if there's anything that goes on in that situation that would hurt me. Man, I want to be a match. And my prayer is not, that's not that because of how good of a person I am. It's not at all. My prayer was that because I've seen what sacrifice has done in Megan's life and the way that it's blessed our boys. And I want to be a part of that kind of sacrifice. I want that fruit in my life. And that's a chance that every single one of us has. By getting the focus off of ourselves and slaying our pride, I think the second part of those resolutions that we talked about earlier, it happens very naturally, being a blessing to others. So pick up Matthew 5, 13 through 16, we'll read that. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It'll be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You're the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Now, once we slay our pride, the focus is no longer on us. It turns and it becomes about others. Jesus refers to us as salt, and then he says, what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? It's worthless. It'll be thrown out and trampled. Are there any salt fans in the house? That's not nearly enough. Like, you guys seriously would not have salt on your food if you could? Like, any salt fans in your house? Okay. I trust some of you can identify with me. I very rarely think this food has too much salt. More often, I think this food could use a little or a lot more salt. One of the worst things in life, go with me on this, one of the worst things in life has to be when you go through a drive-thru, already off to a good start. Remember how I said the resolution like didn't pan out this last year? Here you go. You go through a drive-thru, you order French fries. Get a few miles or a few minutes down the road, too far to probably turn back, and they've cooled down and you realize they don't have any salt on them. Like, that's the worst. It's the absolute worst. And I agree with what Jesus says here. Like, the wording he uses, you might as well throw them out. French fries without salt, like, no, thank you. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying. So one little difference. Jesus is not talking about French fries. And I wish he was, honestly. It'd be really funny and it'd be a lot easier to read. Because he's talking about us. And he says, if we're not seasoning the earth with the life that he's given us, then we miss the point of what being a Christian is all about. And that's a terrifying thought for me, truly. If I'm not intentionally being a blessing to others and I'm not putting seasoning on the bitter stuff in this world, then I've missed the point. And in case that hasn't hit home enough for us, Jesus starts talking about a lamp. says no one would ever light a lamp and put it under a basket. What's the point of that? It'd be totally useless. Man, this is all so important for each one of us to hear. We've been given the life that we've been given, the perspective that we've been given, so that we can be a blessing to others. We have not been given the life that we've been given and the belief that we've been given and the perspective that we've been given just because. That is not how that sentence ends. No, we've been given it so that we can be a blessing to others. And I know we're all coming at this from different perspectives, different seasons, different stages of life. But I think the responsibility of every single Christian here is the exact same. Being a Christian does not mean that you have a relationship with Jesus that nobody else knows about. That has no biblical backing. I've looked and it's not in there, guys. Like, I have wanted this at time, this burden to be relieved from me. It's not in the Bible. That's not what being a Christian is all about. It's not just about a personal relationship with Him that nobody else knows about. No, being a Christian means that you have a relationship with Jesus that every single person you come in contact with knows about. Because you're seasoning the bitter stuff in this world and you're shining a light in the darkness. That's what being a Christian is all about. And please hear me on this. I'm not preaching at you guys. Like, I had to preach this to myself 20 times, give or take. And every single time, it's just as challenging and just as convicting because I have failed at this so many times. I've seen bitterness in the world, and I've bypassed it, not seasoned it. I've seen darkness. I see darkness every single day in the world, and I put my light under a bowl. I hide it under a basket. I've been in this spot before. If any of you can relate, I've thought, honestly, I don't know if it's my responsibility as a Christian to share Jesus with that person. Fill in the blank. I think they'll come to belief on their own when it's the right time for them. I've thought that. I've been there. It has no biblical backing. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, Paul writes and says, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand the message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. People who don't know Jesus yet, Paul says here that they've been blinded. So how can they see the light except someone coming up to them and saying, hey, I've got access to a light. I know it's dark, but I've got access to a light. Man, I know for people here who maybe would not identify yourself as a Christian, that probably sounds offensive, that you're missing out on something because you don't know Him yet. But I promise if you keep coming back, if you keep giving Him a chance, you ask Him to open your heart to reveal these things to you, He will. And your life will be changed by it. Man, if you're not a follower of Christ, we don't want anything from you. Nothing. Hear me on that. We don't want anything from you. We don't want you to do anything. But we absolutely want this for you. We absolutely want you to experience the same kind of life-changing love and grace that we have. And it'll set you free. It'll shine light when it's dark. We're already seeing this stuff happen here, guys. It's so easy to look around the North Campus and find stories. The problem is, like, which stories to share, because there's so many stories of this happening. And I have no doubt that God's honoring that, and that's why we've seen all that we've seen in the past year. Then 2 months ago, we lost one of our own. A young man named Joe who lost his life in a tragic accident. Joe attended here with his wife and his 2 kids under 3. Man, in the days and weeks following Joe's passing, the church mobilized to be a blessing in his life, in his family's life. Man, there were more meal signups than could be eaten, more offers of support and assistance than needed. There was someone from Joe's wife's group who was able to be with her every single night if she wanted until the kids went to bed. Think about that. Someone has lost a family member in a tragedy, and right away the church mobilizes to be a blessing to that family. right away they begin to meet the needs of that family. Literally so much, people are lining up for support and cannot do anything because every physical, tangible need has been met by the church, by you guys. That's laying down your preferences. That's laying down your time, your conveniences. Because what good is salt if it's not seasoning something in this world that's bitter? And what good is light if it's not shining in the darkness? And guys, that situation, that's as bitter and dark as it gets. Right away, the church went in and seasoned it and tried to shine a light. We have at least two guys here who have taken it upon themselves to become handymen within our Live 117 ministry. Live 117 is a ministry that we partner with, who equips and educates and supports families who are defending the cause of the fatherless, families who are fostering and adopting. Live 117 comes alongside of and supports. Kevin and Tom have volunteered their time to be handymen in this ministry, to go into those families' homes, and as they're adding kids into the homes, they'll make repairs and improvements to the homes so that they're better suited to take these kids. Here's the thing. Kevin and Tom have full-time jobs. Like, literally, I don't know if I could find two men who are busier than Kevin and Tom are at times. Their schedules are packed. But they know that they have a skill that other people could be blessed by, and they're no longer living for themselves, but rather to show others the light that God has shown them. They're living for people in this world who need to see more of the light. The kids in this world who are fatherless. The kids in this world who are on a trajectory to be blind. As 2 Corinthians says, you think about the statistics, I don't know them, but I can't imagine how they would turn out in the kids' favor. No father, no mother, no home. Those kids are on a trajectory to one day be blind. And Kevin and Tom are saying, we have access to a light that will change eternity for these kids, and we're going to be a blessing in some way. So they've laid down their preferences, they've laid down their time, they've laid down their money and their conveniences for others. Maybe as you're listening to this, something is stirring in your heart to do the same sort of thing for other people. And I would say there are so many needs in our community, even here in Carmel. There are needs that you can be a part of fixing. And I would challenge you to pray and ask God to open your eyes to what those needs are. And he will. If you walk around, and I love when the Bible talks in a couple different points about lifting your eyes to see. Lift your eyes to see what God has in front of you, what God has in store for you. Man, I love that wording because so often I'm walking through life with my head down, focused on myself, focused on my family, focused on me. And I need to lift my eyes and see what God has in store for me. Man, if we do that in 2018, if we lift our eyes and we ask God, show us needs in this area, in this community, that we could be a part of fixing, it'll happen. I promise that'll happen. I want 2018 to be the best year of my life, and I believe Matthew 5 has the blueprint for how to make that happen. I need to slay my pride. I need to intentionally look for ways to be a blessing to other people. There's one last question that I want us to consider as we close, and it's what I'm asking God to do in 2018. Absolutely crazy. Is what I'm asking God to do in 2018 absolutely crazy? And I would say, again, back to the beginning, God says he could do far more than we could ever ask or imagine. Far more than we could ever pray, God can do. And so are we praying crazy big prayers to just watch him blow them out of the water? Man, that's what I want to see. Let's ask God to blow the roof off this place as more and more people come to know him. Let's ask God to challenge us to step out of our comfort zones and by faith and share the gospel with other people like we never have before. Let's ask God to open doors for us to be to have an impact in areas in the community where we never thought there would be an opportunity or where we would have a voice. And I would say if your prayers aren't crazy, then you need to get new prayers. Pretty simple. Now, if our prayers are not crazy big, then I would say we need to get new prayers because God says he could do far more than then we can pray. Man, run it through that test over the next day or so. Do you think about, what am I praying for? What I think is, man, if I told Greg what I'm praying for, would he be like, man, you're crazy? If not, I got to raise the bar. I got to up it. We got to keep praying big, guys. My mind keeps going back to what our lead pastor, Aaron Brockett, shared with us this summer about his vision for what Traders Point looks like in our community. And he said that even if people don't attend Traders Point, and even if they don't believe what we believe, that they would be glad that we're here because we're such a blessing. And guys, think about that. Think about that wording. I think it's significant that he says it the way that he says it. Because sure, people who don't attend Traders Point and they call themselves a Christian, I hope that they're glad that we're here. Man, I'm thankful for the Christian churches in this community. I'm glad they're here. We know it takes a whole lot of different churches to reach a whole lot of different people. And so I hope the Christians in this community who don't attend here are glad we're here. That's one thing. But people who don't even believe in the God that we believe in, that as they pass by Traders Point Christian Church, they look at it and they say, man, I'm thankful for that church. I'm thankful for those people who are in our community, blessing the community in that kind of way. That blows my mind that that could happen. But I know it can, because God says he could do far more. And so that's what I'm praying. That's one of the things I'm praying is, God, allow us to be a blessing in this community to people of other faiths, people of other beliefs. I pray that they look at Traders Point and they say, man, I'm so glad they're here. If our prayers for 2018 are not doing that, if they would not bless the city in that kind of way, then I think we need to get new prayers. Man, if we do these things, if we slay our pride, if we commit to being a blessing, and we pray crazy big things to happen in 2018, here's what I believe we'll see. I believe we'll see 1,000 people give their life to Christ at Traders Point in 2018. I believe we'll see a record number of families stepping up to foster kids without a home in our community. I believe we'll begin to meet the needs of vulnerable people in our city. I believe we'll see a significantly greater depth of maturity as Christ followers and as disciples. I believe we'll be better neighbors, better employees, better friends, better family members. I think we'll have healthier marriages that seek to serve and honor one another before ourselves. I believe we'll have a greater love for those suffering throughout the world, and that our hearts will break for the things that break God's. I believe we'll sponsor hundreds, if not thousands, of kids through Compassion International in Peru. I believe we'll be the best encouragers on the planet, and that the term grumpy Christians will not apply to Traders Point North. And I believe we'll see kids and students walking into their schools totally unashamed about the gospel of Jesus Christ and sharing it with their classmates. I believe we'll begin planning to launch a campus out of this campus in Westfield or Noblesville so that more of God's children can be wrapped up in his arms than ever before. And I believe next year at this time we'll look back and we'll say, wow, that was far more than we expected. Man, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. God, thank you for Matthew 5 that just tries to tear the pride that's left in my heart away. God, thank you for the way that you've shown up in this church and over the last year, the fruit that we've seen and gotten to be a part of. And God, we just praise you for that. We're so grateful that you've got your hand on this place and over our lives. God, I pray that you challenge us, each and every one of us, to live this out over the next year, God, to slay our pride. When we see pride and we see it in others, that we call it out and we say, we got to get better. We got to go down, lower down in humility to recognize all that you can do. God, I pray that you would open doors for us to be a blessing in this community. I pray that you would open doors that we would never even imagine for us to be a blessing. God, I pray that you would take our prayers and God, you would just blow them out of the water, Lord, that you would show up in a mighty way to meet and exceed every single prayer that we have going into this next year. Lord, I know you're going to do that, and I thank you for it. God, be with us as we go from here. Thank you for your son, Jesus. How he gave us hope. He changed our lives. It's in his name we pray. Amen.